insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. I would like to welcome you to another of our programs, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the understanding of more of His verses. First, let's hear the verses.
وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ وقالوا اتخذ الله ولدا سبحانه بل له ما في السماوات والأرض كل له قانتون بديع السماوات والأرض وإذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون.
We were discussing verse 115. I need to note that there's points regarding this because, as we said, the issue of the direction in worship has been indicated here. We said that this does not deal with wajib prayers. Wajib prayers are going to be dealt with in a verse that inshallah is going to be following in the same surah. However, it does talk about direction in worships. That aspect I'm going to inshallah leave for the wajib prayers, because there we are talking about facing a particular direction. And why is it that we need to face a particular direction? What I want to get into in this verse, that inshallah is going to be helping us in those other verses as well, is this issue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ. To Allah belongs the east and the west. And then as a result of that, the verse says, so whichever way you turn, there is the face of Allah. What does it mean to be the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "In Allah wasi'un alim." Allah is indeed all bounteous, all knowing. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ. To Allah belongs the east and the west. This ownership that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, I'm going to try to explain it as basic as I can. Alhamdulillah, I need to re-emphasize this point. Religion is not, I'm not just making this claim as a claim because I am believing in this religion. No, if it's not clear for you, try to get information from deeper sources. Unfortunately, that needs other languages. If you can't speak, or if you can't read actually Arabic and Farsi, then you're going to be deprived of a lot of the information that's out there regarding the religion. But if you like to know, just try to learn those languages and get into it and see for yourself if what I'm saying is true or not. The more I get into these deeper discussions in the religion, the more we see that Islam has got teachings for us that get deeper and deeper and deeper. And we realize what we get from this religion, the guidance we get from this religion, is beyond any type of comprehension. It's been 1400 years that scholars have dug into different aspects of this religion, and every single day there's been more that's been derived from this religion. So there's a lot of deep explanations of this. I'm going to try to mention this as brief and as simple as I can, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to Allah belongs the east and the west. First of all, east and the west, these are directions that we have. What is the east? Is there a real east? Is there a real west? I mean, when you go, keep going west, you're going to end up in the same spot, because the world, or the globe, you know, the earth is a globe. When you keep going the same direction, you're going to come back to the same location. So where is the east? Where is the west? These are directions that we have. That we talk, you know, we've located that, you know, a certain direction is the north, then the left of that is going to be west, and the east of that, or the right side of that, is going to be the east. These are directions. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to in this verse is basically anything that exists. Whether you look to your east or to your west, everything, every being. And these are just examples. It doesn't mean that the north doesn't belong to Allah. It doesn't mean the south doesn't belong to Allah. It doesn't mean that other things, the heavens, do not belong to Allah. The other planets, stars, galaxies, that doesn't belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of creation belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other point that we need to emphasize on is that this belonging is not something like the way we have ownership over what we own. The belonging that is talked about, the ownership that is talked about in this verse, is the real ownership. If I want to explain that in an example, the ownership that we deal with, like we say, I own this car, what that means is that if somebody else uses this and they take it away from me, I just have a right. If I'm living in a country where, you know, there's a sovereign government and there's a law enforcement agency that takes care of, you know, issues like that, and they are just, they're not corrupt, they can take my right to me and give me my car back, and that person does not have permission to use it. That's what it means. What it means that I own this is that I can sell it for the price that I wish, and they can't take it away from me by force. But this type of ownership, as we just said, people can, you know, whether I like it or not, someone that has got more power from, if some sovereign government is not just, they want to just confiscate that from me, they can do that and I can't do anything about it. I may be able to fight them, but I'll get killed. My ownership over that car doesn't mean anything except a contract, a social contract, that if something belongs to me and I have ownership over something, that means others cannot use that without my permission. But if they choose to use it without my permission, in a lot of cases, I can't do anything about that. This is the ownership that we talk about in our lives and the ownership that we have. Even our bodies, what type of an ownership do we have? If someone takes my, you know, ties me down and they want to chop some body part of mine off, like in the old days they used to in cruel ways for torture, even today they do, unfortunately. Well, the ways that they torture people has changed. Now they torture people without them, you know, showing any type of sign in their body that we could see. In any case, if someone decides they want to do that to my body, I can't even control them from doing that. I don't have any power over what I own, even my own body. A small little virus could come into my body and destroy my whole immune system, where even a small cold could cause me to die, the HIV virus. This ownership that we have is a very, very limited, it's a social contract, as we said, that, you know, people agree that if I own something, then they're not going to be using it without my permission. That's ownership. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns something, that ownership means that He has created that thing and He has absolute power over it. If He wills it to be, it will be there. If He wills it not to be there, it will not be there. If He wills it to change locations, it will do that. Whatever He wishes, He can do with what He owns, including us. Everything you can imagine and all the things that you can't imagine that exist belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way, that He can do whatever He wishes with them, and no one can do anything about it. And no one can do a single and the most minute thing possible to anything that belongs to Him without Him wanting that. Now, the depths of that, we can go on and talk about that for hours. That is the ownership that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. So basically, when He owns everything, that means that type of an ownership. Everything is His creation. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this physical body of yours, whatever direction it faces, that face of yours is facing the some creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of what it faces is going to be His creation. You cannot face a direction that is not His creation. And that creation is a reflection and the manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what is meant by wajhullah. That the verse says, there is. So whichever way you turn, there is the face of Allah. That face is that manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. Everything is His creation. So every direction that I face, that is going to be the facing the direction of a manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what the verse means. There's deeper explanations of that. We'll leave that for those who wish to go and read in books. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us those deeper meanings. There's other points regarding the verse about the issue of the Qibla and facing direction. What is the need of facing a direction in prayers and how that works? Inshallah, we'll try to explain that in the verse that talks about the wajib Qibla, the direction that we have to face in our wajib prayers, inshallah. In the following session, we will go on to the next verse. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah, Allah, ya Allah, Allah, ya Allah, Allah, ya Allah, 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 ya Allah, Allah, ya Allah, Allah, ya Allah, Allah, Subhanallah, hamdan lillah. خمسة أطفي بهم حر الجحيم الحاطمة المصطفى والمرتضى وابناهما والفاطمة الفاطمة يا الله الله يا الله الله يا الله
والمرتضى وابناهما والفاطمة
الله.